It's good to see everyone here. It's good to see all the young faces, the cheery voices. Hope, pray, and trust that your soul is comforted just being amongst one another as we talk about being significant, especially in a world that thinks we're not too significant. And what we mean by that is being important. Bible teaches us that we ought to think soberly of ourselves, have a proper idea of who we are. I want you to take the next 30 seconds. If you have your notes, you have your binders, there are 7 questions that are on your notes. I want you to read those questions, and I want you to think about those questions. Think about those questions. 7 questions. Now, some may think, well, these don't really apply to me, or, you know, I really do feel good about myself. I know who I am, and if that's the case, then that's great. But being a minister for the last 18 years, having children, I do know and have experienced that many in our world, adults included, don't think enough of themselves. They don't think enough of themselves. So take about 30 seconds, read those questions, think about those questions, because they're very thoughtful. In those 7 questions, I want to challenge all of us from this day forward, if you're not already doing it, is to take it by an hour or two every day and disconnect. Disconnect. That's difficult. I even find myself at times needing to disconnect. Take you about an hour or two. And it doesn't have to be 2 straight hours. It doesn't have to even be a straight hour. There are 24 hours in a day. See if you can get 1 or 2 hours in of just disconnecting, so you can think about those questions on your notes. You'll see how challenging it is. But if you truly want to be significant, if you want to be someone of importance, like God already sees you as being important, it's going to require you taking some time to see who you are. And when you find out who you are, this is the blessing, friends. Young people, this is the blessing. You can then be a blessing to someone else. Yes, sir. Good question. To be a blessing to someone else, you have to first realize who you are. Number one, you're made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. God breathed into you, man, the breath of life, Genesis 2:7, man became a living soul. God saw Abraham and blessed Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3. And when he blessed him, he brought the seed through him, Jesus Christ. How do we know that we're blessed? When we're following and we're friends of Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Good question. And the reason why I answered it that way, because some people believe they're blessed because of materialism. But that's not truly the blessing, even though God's people can be blessed in that realm. But Jesus said, what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So we already know for a fact that it's not about the material things, Luke 12, verse 15, but it's about who we are in reference to God. Our relationship with our Father through Jesus Christ is vitally important. Just one more example, then we'll get to the lesson. In Luke chapter 16, we see the account of the rich man and Lazarus. Well, the rich man, because of his bad attitude, and he didn't really take care of his fellow man, his neighbor, one who was significant, well, He lifted up his eyes in torment, Luke 16. But the beggar, well, when he died, the angels took his soul to Abraham's bosom. Well, hold on. You had one who was rich, one who was poor, and the poor man who was really rich, he was the one that was going to spend eternity with God. The one that was rich with materialism, yet he didn't share, and he looked at his fellow man, loving his neighbor as himself, he's going to spend eternity away from God. Tell me, somebody answer me, which one was truly blessed? The rich man or the beggar? The beggar. That does not mean you can't have material things and be a blessing to others. If anything, my mom taught me as a kid growing up, God blesses you so you can help someone else. All right? Let's go ahead and get to the lesson. Great question. There are significant ones in the Bible that we really don't look at times. As a matter of fact, most of the time when we talk to, when you talk to people, Bible characters, they say, I want to be like Paul, or I want to be like Peter, I want to be like David, I want to be like Abraham. No doubt, those are great men of God. Deborah, a great woman of God. But the Bible has a lot to say concerning those who were just as significant, yet their names are not on the billboards, if you will. In your notes, you'll see Epaphroditus, you'll see Phoebe, you'll see Tychicus, you see Abigail. You notice we use two of each, a male and a female, a woman and a man. Significant individuals that we don't read a lot about. Epaphroditus. This man here gave himself to the Lord. He gave himself to the church. As a matter of fact, Paul said in the book of Philippians that he was near unto death serving the church. Then we think of Phoebe, who the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans chapter 16, she's named. She was a servant of the Lord. My favorite, and he is my favorite in the Bible, Tychicus. I love Tychicus. We find him in Acts, the book of Acts, in the establishment of the church, but we also see him in the book of Colossians, and then we see him in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the Bible teaches us, and Paul looked at Tychicus as a true servant of God. I mean, really, how many of y'all, raise your hand if you heard of Tychicus? Couple. So we have more people who have not heard of Tychicus than those who have heard of Tychicus, and he was a servant of Almighty God. He was significant to the work of God. Do not think that your name has to be blasted all out over the brotherhood in order for you to be important. Amen. You don't. As a matter of fact, doing the will of God, that makes you important. We'll discuss that here in a bit. And then the last one, Abigail. I love Abigail. Abigail was so sweet, so soft-hearted. She had a horrible husband, Nabal. Horrible husband. David did some work for Nabal and kept his animals and kept his land free from the enemies. And now David needed a little bit of help, and Nabal had the audacity to tell King David's men, "Who is David?" Well, the word gets back to David. David is hot mad. David gathered up 400 chariots and horsemen for one man, and he's about to go and take out Nabal. Abigail catches wind of it. She has her servants to make some cakes and some food and some provisions, and she meets David before he gets there. Fall down on her knees, begs David. She says, "My husband is a fool." You know, Nabal in Hebrew means fool. So he lived up to his name. Oh, man. And the next thing you know, God takes care of Nabal. Abigail becomes David's wife. David loved Abigail. Hold on. How many of y'all heard of Abigail? Good. Abigail, that was a wonderful woman. To some, insignificant, because we don't read about her a lot. But very significant in the life of David. You know why? Because she stopped David from killing a man. She stopped David from taking vengeance when God says in Romans 12 verse 19, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." You know, y'all can be just like that. That's how you're a blessing to others. Trustworthiness. Notice the next point in your lesson. Talk about people who did great things but aren't spoken of. If you really want to be significant, be a friend. The Bible is full of passages, young people, about being a friend. I like to use the principle that Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, I believe it's verse 22, if I'm not mistaken, in the context of concerning elders, lay your hand on no man suddenly. I like to use that passage as principle as relates to people I bring in my circle, if you will. Everybody cannot be in your circle. That's okay. That's fine. But in Proverbs 18:24, I want us to notice that passage. As a matter of fact, it's in your notes. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Young people, think about insignificant ones who are significant. You know it takes development to be a friend. And that's why a lot of people don't get along with each other. Because being a friend or friendship is a developed behavior. And you know God wants us to be friends. John 15:14, Jesus said, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I say. Oh, there's a lot in that passage. What's in that passage, Brother Mike? Let me tell you. If we do what Jesus teaches us to do through development, discipline, determination, y'all hear that? Development, discipline, determination, then we can become that disciple, that friend of Christ. The same principle is with y'all. When y'all have a friend, when you have someone that you can trust, you understand that it's going to require discipline and determination. It's going to take all those things because people have to learn to trust you. And you ought to give them that time to trust you. And be a person that is trustworthy. To be significant, be trustworthy. I want to say this. Just because you have done some things that have not been trustworthy doesn't mean that you can't rebuild it. I was just talking to a brother a couple of minutes ago, and I told him, one thing I love about God is how vulnerable he is. What that means is that God puts himself in the position to be hurt. Watch out. Uh-oh. What does that mean? That means when we sin against God, what should be the natural response when we sin against God? Someone answer that. Yes.
Well, the natural response as a human, of course, to be hurt, to be angry for what had happened to us, if that was, you know, happening to us.
Yes.
But is in God's case, because of who he is and what he's done for us.
Yes. Okay. So what should be our response when we sin against God? Yes. Yes. Ask God for forgiveness. Repent. Oh, what if God did us the way that some of us do one another? Wow. God always says, come home. That's one thing I love about the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. He says, my arms are outstretched. Israel has gone on with other gods. God, what are you saying? Israel, you're significant. You're important. You're valuable to me. Turn away from not being my servants, my friends. To be a friend requires discipline, determination, requires us understanding who we are. All right? Notice under, but what is a friend? A person attached to another by feelings of affection and personal regard. Number two, a person who gives assistance, a supporter. A person who is on good terms with another. One who is not hostile. We can be unfriendly. To be significant is one who is, well, let's bring him up. Jonathan. Love. love Jonathan. As a matter of fact, when I think of a significant individual who, well, we look at David all of the time because he's a mighty warrior. Well, Jonathan was too. Jonathan was a man's man. I can understand why Jonathan and David got along with one another. But David killed a lion and a bear, took out Goliath, and Jonathan was just as a warrior as David. Well, they had some things in common. But usually when we talk about a great man of God, one who is after God's own heart, 1 Samuel, Acts chapter 13, we think about David. But I truly believe through scripture that David would not have been the man that he was without Jonathan. You know, there's not a person under the sound of my voice, yea, in this building, that can be the man or the woman of God without somebody else helping them. We all need somebody. The question is this: are you going to be that significant one to help someone to be God's man or God's woman? All of us are significant. There's not an insignificant person in this building. All of us are valuable. All of us are important. The question is this: how do you see yourself? Now, the opposite spectrum is that you can think more highly of yourself than what you ought to. That's pride. That's arrogance. We ought to discourage that. We ought to get rid of that. We need to eliminate that. But there has to be a level of confidence. Isn't that right, Mike? Isn't that right, Ken? Shouldn't we have a level of confidence? Your greatest confidence is Jesus Christ. That's your greatest confidence. If your greatest confidence is you, wrong confidence. Your greatest confidence is Jesus Christ. Let's look at Jonathan and David. Jonathan played a major role in the life of David. David himself can attribute his success to Jonathan. There was a time in which David and Saul, well, they didn't see eye to eye. It wasn't David's fault. It was all solely upon Saul. Saul wanted to kill David because it was at that time in which David killed Goliath, and the people just ramped in rage because this small boy killed, well, the troubler of Israel. Next thing you know, we find Saul, who's very upset because they're chanting out that David has killed his 10,000, but Saul has killed his thousands, and Saul got very upset and distraught behind it. Next thing you know, we find Saul desiring to kill David. Well, Jonathan is the son of Saul. We see that in 1 Samuel 14 and verse number 1. When we stop and we consider what took place in all of this that made Jonathan so significant to the life of David, and could David have lived without Jonathan? Possibly. But I do know this: having a man on the inside really helped David out. Jonathan could have been a turncoat. He could have been someone that was a traitor. Hey, David, you and I are friends. I love you. But then, you know, well, I love my dad more. But hold on, dad is wrong. So I'm going to turn on my friend David. No one likes people like that. Apparently, Jonathan and David, Bible teaches us in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 8 through 4, 1 through 4, 8 through 4. Man, you hear that? I really messed that one up, didn't I? Verses 1 through 4, that they were close friends. Chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, the Bible teaches us that their souls were knitted together. Question, answer this to yourself. Do you have a friend that close? If you do, how close is that friend, listen, to God? Sometimes if we're not careful, we can put significant people in our lives that are not knitted with God. Yes, Bible is right. 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Bible is right. Evil communication or company corrupt good morals. You can be around the wrong people, closely knitted to the wrong people, and then make them significant in your life, and the next thing you know, the bottom falls out. And that's one thing I love about Jonathan, and one thing I love about David, that their souls were knitted together, that they knew one another. And I'm reminded of when, well, Saul was after David again, and Jonathan told him, let me go talk to my father. Let me see what's going on. Let me see if he's after you. If he's not, then what I'm going to do, I'm going to, just lost my train of thought. Yeah, shoot an arrow. Thank you. I'm getting old, bro. I'm going to shoot an arrow. And if it falls in front of you, then everything is okay. But if it goes beyond you, then daddy's after you. Oh, what a wonderful friend. You know, those are the type of friends you need in your life. Friends that's going to help you to propel forward. Friends that's going to help you to be significant like God wants you to be. Friends, it's going to help you to get closer to God. There may be one or two of y'all that think, well, I don't need God. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. There's not a person on the face of the earth that doesn't need God. Everybody should desire to be a friend of God. And I'm not talking about a God. I'm talking about Jehovah. If Jehovah is not your God, he needs to be. If you're thinking about leaving Jehovah or have already left Jehovah, I beg you to turn back to him. I beg you. Y'all are at a very pivotal age where you can either go left or right. And it all depends on the type of friends you have. Putting insignificant people in your life. And when I say it like that, people who are not closely tied to God can be detrimental and can cause you years and years of turmoil. Some people don't ever bounce back from having bad friends. And sometimes it takes those bad experiences in order for people to turn toward God. You don't have to go that route. David and Jonathan. Oh, I love this relationship. Some people would look at the relationship with Jonathan and David and say, well, there's some funny business going on there. No, sir. No, ma'am. Keep in mind, they were both men. Killers. Warriors. Men of God. No stupid stuff going on between them two. No hanky-panky going on between those men. They love women. Well, y'all get that point? Did y'all get that point? Why y'all acting like that? Did you get that point? Yeah. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure y'all got that point. They love women. David had a whole bunch of wives, unfortunately. But we'll keep on going. That's needless a point there. I'm sitting here thinking like, Mike, leave that alone, boy. But anyway, this is where I was. Jonathan and David. I mean, closely knit together. Warriors. Fighters. Love truth. The next thing you know, we find Jonathan, David. Well, there's a problem. Look on your notes under chapter 19, 1 through 7. Notice verse 2. Jonathan tells David of pending danger. And the question I have there is, shouldn't friends do the same? Young people, if you want to be significant in the life of your friend, show them what danger is. Tell them, hey, the direction in which you're going is not a good direction. And then put yourself in a position to allow others to do you the same way. Be significant. Be a person that you know can help someone else and that can be helped by someone else. I'm telling you, there's no way that none of us, Wayne Jones will not get to heaven without me, and I can't get to heaven without him. We need to influence one another. We need to help one another. But that's why our relationship with God is so important. Because if it's not, our direction, our way of life, our way of thinking, our actions will result in eternal damnation, but we'll make some bad decisions while we're here. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, "For the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly," or to the full. That's what God wants us to have. All right? Verse 3, David said, "I'm going to talk to my father. I'm going to take care of this issue." David is before Saul because of Jonathan, that a problem arose, and we talked about that earlier, and Jonathan took care of the problem for his friend David. Very significant man. Never, ever think that you're not significant. You're important. You're valuable. You're needed. There's not a person here that's not needed. All of us are needed. Notice under traits of significance. Jonathan was a man of wisdom. David was afraid for his life. We notice the wisdom that Jonathan suggested, and we went over that. This suggests that Jonathan was a man of tenderness. He saw the need of his friend, and he says, "I'm going to help my friend out." Well, hold on. Let's stop for a second, and let's think about this. Jonathan, it is your father, Saul, that wants to kill your friend. What are you going to do about this? Are you going to be loyal to your father who is wrong, or are you going to be loyal to your friend who is right? And young people, you're going to be faced with that decision the rest of your life. You're either going to be loyal to your father who is wrong, or loyal to your friend who is right. We're either going to be loyal to our father who is in heaven, or not. We need to be. A true friend is loyal. A true friend is needed. Jonathan was faithful. I love this about David. Notice chapter 31, 1 Samuel. Jonathan is killed in battle. And the next thing you know, we find David having a tough time with the death of his friend. Remember, it was close. It was real close. He wept, he cried, he mourned because of his friend Jonathan. But we see something in David that's just wonderful. We not only see the faithfulness of Jonathan, but we see the faithfulness of David, and David wanting to do something charitable, kind. David, what do you want to do? I want to show kindness to the house of Saul. Is there anyone left in the house of Saul that I could show kindness to? A man named Mephibosheth, who was the son of Jonathan. Rough life. Dropped at an early age in his life. Crippled. And all because of the faithfulness of his friend Jonathan, we find David showing kindness to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth comes before King David, and he kneels down before him and he says, "I am a dog in front of you." David says, "No, get up." He said, "From this day forward, you're going to be eating at my table." Isn't that beautiful? You see the faithfulness? You see, Jonathan was significant to David. Now, I want to bring this point out because it's vitally important. Young people, cherish friendships. I'm talking about true friendships. Cherish them. They don't happen often. In my 43 years of life, I haven't had many. Cherish them. You're going to come to find out in your life that there's going to be some people that's going to betray you. Don't let that stop you from being the significant friend you still need to be. Allow that to be wisdom for you. Allow that to help guide your life, guide your mentality. But when you have a true friend, you need to keep him. You need to keep her. Cherish your friendships. Notice, Jonathan is dead. He's gone now. And here David mourns the life of his friend, and he wants to show kindness to the house of Saul. They bring Mephibosheth here. He comes, he kneels down before him. He says, you're going to eat at my table for the rest of your days. I'm going to take care of you all because of my great friend Jonathan. We can't be the people of God that we really need to be without someone helping us. Now, let me tell you why I wanted to bring this particular lesson. Because if we're not careful, we will allow the world to define what a friend is. God tells us who are our friends. There was an account with Jesus. I believe it's Mark chapter 4. I think it's in your notes. And they came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers and your sisters, they're looking for you. Jesus answered, those who do the will of God, those are my mother, my brother, and my sisters. That's my family. Who's your family? Who's your friends? Are you significant? Insignificant people are very significant. In essence, you're not insignificant. You're very important. Yes, sir. Important, valuable. I like him. Hey, if you don't have an understanding and all thy getting, get an understanding. Good job. Good job. Does anybody have any comments before we go any further? Anybody have a question? Yes.
I think it's worth pointing out that the song that David wrote shows how significant he was to him, since the beauty of Israel is saying of how close and so have not yet fallen. He was
yes. Wow, great point. The song that David wrote about Jonathan, how the mighty have fallen. Hold on. The only way you can write a song or have those type of thoughts about someone, they have to be significant in your life. Young people, it takes time to develop that. At this stage in your life, there may be some disagreements, but the people you meet are mostly acquaintances. It takes development to realize who your friends are. But when you get a friend, you hold on to them. And then you make sure y'all go to heaven together. A friend is not a friend. Listen, y'all, listen. A friend is not a friend if they cannot help you get closer to God. Every friend that you have ought to help you get closer to the Lord. If not, why not? You ought to be that individual that is so significant that when people meet you, they know that they're going to get closer to the Lord. David was a great king, not because of his warrior skills only, but because of Jonathan. Jonathan played a key role in the life of David. And there are some people in your life that you need. You're not going to get to heaven by yourself. So you find you some good friends and you be significant in their life. And you make up your mind from this day forward that whoever I meet and we get real close, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to help them to get as close to heaven as humanly possible. If not, why not? And that's going to determine who you allow to be in your circle. If a person is causing you to get further and further away from God, wrong person. And I'm going to say this and I ain't taking it back. I don't care who they are. But if a person can help you get closer to God, righteousness, holiness, you grab hold to them. You don't let them go. Because one day you're going to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Y'all want to hear those words? I want to hear those words. But I know for a fact that I can't get there by myself. I need some significant people in my life. That their names might not be plastered all over the billboards, but their names are written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? Are you significant? Let me go ahead and answer the question for you. You are. You're very important. You're vitally important. And y'all can be just like Jonathan. You can be just like Jonathan, a very significant individual. Notice the last point. Thinking about being significant is nothing short of being insignificant. I love these questions. Do you have a Jonathan that is thinking and praying for you? One of the most beautiful things to have in your heart is to know someone is thinking about you, praying for you. That is so comforting. Someone sends you a text and just want to let you know I'm praying for you. Isn't that beautiful? That somebody is taking your name, taking your soul to the throne room of God and saying, I need you to help my friend out, help my spouse out, help my loved one out. Number two, do you have a Jonathan that is really concerned about your spiritual life? It's important. Number three, do you have a Jonathan that's willing to sacrifice for you, for them, and you for them when it's necessary? Because Jonathan did sacrifice. He put his neck on the line with his own father for his friend. Do you have a Jonathan? Are you significant? Are you valuable? Are you important? It's a word of encouragement. Your significance, your value, your importance is not based upon how many likes you get on Facebook. Your value, your importance is solely on the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how important y'all are. That's how significant you are. That God knows every last one of you. I love what Jesus told his disciples before he sent them out on that limited commission in Matthew 10, that God knows every hair that's on your head. That's how important you are. You are very significant. You're very, very valuable. And the people that you put in your life need to be of that value. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself cheap. And be everything that God wants you to be. Let's have a word of prayer. Great God and Father, hallowed be your name. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the accounts, the stories that we have in the book. Thank you for men like Epaphroditus, Tychicus, and women like Phoebe and Abigail. Thank you for men like Jonathan, David, who we can learn from, have a balance in life. Father, help us to be very selective with those who we bring close to our lives. Help us to have the courage and the strength to remove people who are not getting us closer to you. Help us to always count that cost, to realize that our relationship with you through Jesus Christ is utmost important. That everyone that we bring into our lives helps us to that end. Father, thank you for being vulnerable and allowing yourself to be hurt by us to bring us back in when we repent and confess fault. We love you. We're thankful for you. thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the church of Christ. We're just thankful. Help us to realize that we are significant because of what your son has done for us. And that we will never see anyone that is insignificant, because we know that you want all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So bless us according to thy will. In Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen.